morning. And, before preaching, I would like to express my gratitude and appreciation for this opportunity to stand before God's saints and share God's word. And it is my fifth visit to the United States and my first time here in New Hampshire. And it is always a great privilege for me to preach God's word. And today I am going to preach on Ephesians 2, 11 through 22. You can open your Bible. And I called my sermon, The Wall Broken Down. At one of my visit to the States, I happened to drive in a car of one American elder. He confessed that 20 years ago, he did not even think about having a Russian in his car. If someone had told him about it, he would have never believed it. A Russian in my car? And then at my table eating my food? No, it's absolutely impossible. Never. 20 years ago, everything Russian or Soviet was hostile and very strange for him. But now, thanks to Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Russian wasn't in his car. Moreover, he visited his house, ate his food, and they talked like friends. How was it that impossible became possible? I was born in the Soviet Union. I studied in ordinary Soviet school. I lived in atmosphere of Soviet propaganda. In my childhood, I often heard that any foreigners are potential enemies. Therefore, it was almost impossible for a Soviet citizen to go abroad. And those who were lucky to do that were in the center of rapt attention of KGB. When you hear all the time that any foreigner is enemy, you become prejudiced against everything coming from abroad. When the Soviet Union decayed, many doors were opened for missionaries. Most of them came to plant churches. Then our people began to think that foreigners come here to swindle out of all our money. Protestantism seemed to be something alien. Any Protestant church, either American or Korean, was suspicious. And all this was supported by TV programs about evil missionaries who want to take our apartments, our money, and make zombie out of our people. Is that true? Of course, it affected on my attitude towards church and Christianity. When I met my wife, she was already a member of one Presbyterian church founded by a Korean missionary. She invited me to come to church many times, but I refused. I knew there were foreigners. She prayed for me and waited patiently. And one day I agreed to come. I sat in the last row and observed all people during the service. The wall of enmity and distrust did not let me to listen to the truth and participate in the worship service. Miraculously, I began to go to church. I was surprised that church pastor, a missionary, foreigner, showed sincere interest are in me. He and his wife cared about me. It was very strange for me. I saw that instead of swindling us out of all our money, they sacrificed their own money to help others. His Christian position, love, and care helped me to change my attitude towards foreigners. The fate of my wife and the way this foreign missionary treated me broke down the wall of enmity in my life. And God chooses Abraham and makes a covenant with him and his descendants. God promises that people coming from Abraham will be holy and separated. Every person from this nation had a special mark on his body that proved he belonged to the covenant people. Circumcision. It is safe to say that there was one human race before Abraham, but beginning from Abraham, God divided the world in two. Some people might think that God is for division because he singled out Israel from other nations. But we know that the point of Abrahamic covenant is for this nation to become a blessing for all other nations. This nation must bring other nations to salvation and to the covenant with the Creator. For this purpose, God anointed Israel with his Spirit. It means God's Spirit was in the midst of this nation. Tragically, Israel forgot about its predestination and began to think about only itself. In Acts, book of Acts, Luke, the apostle, describes how angry with Paul were the Jews that even wanted to kill him when Paul brought a Gentile near the temple. This shows the attitude of Israel towards other people: hatred, hostility, and estrangement. The passage from Ephesians 2 we chose today for the study, for our study, begins with the same idea: hostility and estrangement between the Jews and the Gentiles. In verse 11 through 12, Paul says, I have verse from a New King James Version. I don't know what you use. I will read. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that and that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul reminds the believers in Ephesus of what they were not long ago. They were strangers to the covenant people and to God himself, and were somewhere far away, behind the wall of the estrangement. In verse 13, Paul begins to speak about how this wall of enmity and hatred dividing Israel and the Gentiles has been destroyed now. How did it happen? Verses 13 through 16. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Paul says that you once were Gentiles, who were very far away from God and God's people. Now you have been brought near to God and God's people through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 14, 15, we read that He is our peace. He destroyed the wall, the barrier of enmity and hatred dividing people, thus making peace. The scripture describes mankind as one body, In Abraham, this body was divided in two. When the Bible speaks about dividing something in two, it's death. Therefore, circumcision given to Abraham was a symbolic act of death accompanied by blood and pain. But when Christ offered His flesh for suffering, pain and death, and shed His blood, then with His resurrection, mankind resurrected, united and became one body, again, the body of Christ. Verse 15 says that by His flesh, Jesus abolished the enmity, and by His teaching, the law of commandments, and made a new man, new creation, out of two halves. It does not mean we don't need commandments today and don't have to follow them. What Paul is talking about is that before Christ, the law singled out the Jews as a nation with special status, as the covenant people. I'm sorry, I apologize for my Russian-English pronunciation, I'm sorry. Yeah, consider it like you're suffering for Christ, please. Okay, circumcision was the sign of the covenant. But after death and resurrection of the Son of God, this difference between the Jews and the other people has been abolished. With Christ's resurrection, there is no special people with a kind of identification mark on their body. There is a new creation in Christ. After His resurrection, the only value in the body of Christ is a new creation, not circumcision, not the law, just new creation in Christ. Let's look at Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. In Christ there are no and cannot be any national or racial differences, only a new creation, new man reconciled to God and other people. Paul says that the point of the good news is that now in Christ we have peace with God and people. Now all those who are in Christ, those who were far off and those who were near, the Jews and the Gentiles have an equal right to call God the Father and come close to the Father in one spirit. The Gentiles are not aliens anymore. They are God's. In other words, they are of God's family and have the same citizenship as believing Jews. Before Christ, this was just impossible, but it became real through the blood and flesh of Christ. Many different wars break out nowadays. Thousands of refugees leave their homes and wander around the world looking for a place to stay. What do these refugees who know they will never return to their community want the most? They wish to become full members of the new community and begin new life from scratch. They understand they are accepted as full members when they are granted civil rights of the country that became their new motherland. New passport in hand is the most precious acquisition for a refugee, because it gives him the right to share in the benefits of this country together with other citizens. Now he can get rid of the idea to return and live new life, because I am one of them now. About the Gentiles, Paul says that once they were strangers, but now they are full members of the new community. Not because they followed the Judaic law or made a mark of their body, but through Jesus, who broke down the barrier by his blood and flesh and brought peace. What's the application, brothers and sisters? What's the application of this Bible passage for us who don't know all these problems, like the Jews who make you circumcised or the Gentiles? There is even no conflict between them. What's good in Paul's words for us today? First, we must remember that once we were strangers and aliens from the commonwealth of saints, but by the blood of Christ we have been brought near to God and his saints. We have been adopted in God's family, have access to the Father in one spirit. The spirit that descended on the house where the disciples gathered in Pentecost leads us to Father every Sunday and today. If we understand that we come to the Father in one spirit, all we have to do is worship, glorify our Creator, and give Him thanks in unity. The bread we break and eat symbolizes our unity in Christ. Today, people, including Christians, build dividing walls of estrangement due to some national, class, or even personal reasons, like mutual resentments. Thereby, they oppose the work of Christ and the good news proclaimed by apostles, and insult the Trinity, where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in holy, eternal, and undivided unity. Instead of erecting the walls of resentment and estrangement, we are called to preach about a new creation God made in Christ, which is in peace with God and other people. And we must reveal this truth of the gospel through our acts. We must show the world which God used to make divisions and build walls between people that in Jesus' blood we are one creation, one body, with no social, racial, or sex or walls between each other. And moreover, we must look for places where people erect such walls of hostility and estrangement to destroy them by our Christian love and the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we live in Russia. We live in Moscow, near Moscow. We serve at the place where there are many walls of hostility and estrangement between people and God, and between people and other people. And our goal is to destroy these walls by the gospel and serving people, and showing love of Christ to them. And you can help us to destroy the walls of hostility by your prayer and your support. And I am very thankful you that you have started to do it. And also I thank God that in my life I can see this unity between people. Every time I come here, I'm welcomed, and I feel as a part of a big family, Christ's body. Once Russians and Americans were divided not only by the large ocean. Many bad propaganda we we hear in our country about America. But through Christ, things which were impossible became possible. And all glory to Christ for breaking down the wall of its estrangement and enmity between our people and our nation. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.